being filled with the Holy Spirit. We touched on it a little bit in Sunday school, how that if we'll listen to Him, it gives us those assurances that we are His child. And we're commanded to be filled. But I remember as a little kid, my mom making me hold her hand when we were in precarious situations. And, you know, as a little boy, you know, you're always wanting to pull that hand out. And I can do it. I can do this on my own. And, of course, you know, she was just trying to keep me safe. And you grow and you grow and you grow away from that. So obviously trying to, grow into an adult. And, again, it's probably not normal for, and again, if you do it, that's fine, but that's probably not a normal thing that you see, you know, an 18, 25-year-old holding his mom's hand walking down the road. But, I mean, if they still do that, that's fine. And but then the older you get, you're okay with it again. sometimes your mom might need your help to walk, and you help her. Same thing, but there's songs about it. You know, I know there's a song, "I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand," and developing that relationship with the Lord. And I guess in between that, holding my mom's hand and wanting to get away from that, and I can do this on my own, there was that time in between that, I wanted to hold my girlfriend's hand, okay? And it was a little different than holding mom's hand. You got a little bit of heebie-jeebies going on in there, and maybe your palms were sweating, but you wanted to. Why? Because you wanted to develop that relationship with her and so forth. So, again, I think, obviously, the Lord and your relationship with Him, He wants you to do some things on your own, but He wants you to know that, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, says, this is the way, walk in it. He's right there. You know, you're okay. Take the next step, things like that. But when you fall, we saw that this morning in Sunday school, if you fall, that just man, that paraclete, that Holy Spirit runs alongside, picks you back up, maybe puts His arm around you and says, you can do this, things like that. So, but it's all that relationship, and that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a, I guess maybe some different thoughts about it, and we'll see it in the sermon here today, that when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside of you, and you know, He's never leaving. He's permanent dwelling. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's in there. He wants you to abide in Him. If I abide in Him, He abides in you. He wants that relationship. But then we have that that maybe misnomer or maybe misunderstanding about being filled. And I heard one preacher give it this way. Obviously, when you got saved, you got all of the Holy Spirit. There's no new covenant. There's no new blessing. There's no new languages. You got all the Holy Spirit when you got saved. But as you develop that relationship and you start to get filled, in other words, He gets all of you. All right, that's what the growth is. You don't grow into salvation, or you don't grow into getting all of the Holy Spirit. No, you get it all. As soon as you say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins, come into my heart and save me," the Holy Spirit comes in and you're saved. But obviously, as you grow, He gets more of you. That's how He's in charge of every avenue and aspect of your life. And that's what we're going to look at here in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, "To be not drunk with wine." And of course, if you just took that part, there's a principle right there. You know, be not drunk with wine. And then it goes on to say, "Wherein is it excess?" And so, of course, a lot of what they might be called social drinkers or whatever, they're like, okay, well, you know, it says be not drunk, but you know, wherein is excess? As long as I don't get excessive with this. But there's other verses in there that says that, you know, it's not even supposed to touch your lips. And so, well, I'll just use a funnel. Again, if you're trying to get around the Word of God, you're not going to grow into a relationship with Christ, okay? It's not okay to drink and so forth. But a lot of people leave this part out. Be not drunk with wine. That's, you know, all of us that don't believe in drinking. I got it. And then those that want to find the loophole in the Word of God or argue it. Wherein is excess? You do all things in moderation. My airplane pilot, I don't want him to do drugs in moderation. I want him to be fully coherent, all right, when he's driving me through that air. All right? But then a lot of people don't ever get to this part because they still arguing over be not drunk and wherein is excess. But the Bible says here, a command But, so God, I think, was more, pointing out this point than the others. But be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So again, God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. He wants Him to be in charge of every aspect. I'll read another verse. You won't have time to turn there, or don't have to take time to turn there. Zechariah 4:6, it says this, not by might, so we can't work out enough to be a good Christian. Okay, now I get there's talks about lay aside those weights that beset us and things like that, so I get there's some application here. But, I mean, you can do spiritual push-ups all day long. And you can do, you know, all this stuff, but it's, you know, you're not going to get strong enough in yourself to do this Christian life. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So this is what God wants us to do is, again, not to, you know, dot every independent fundamental Baptist I and cross every independent fundamental Baptist T, and I'll get there. I'll get the short haircut and I'll get the lingo down and I'll cram a KJV here and I'll do this. And no, it's not by might and by power. Again, don't try to fit in just by your look, your language, and your all that kind of stuff. No, get filled with the Holy Spirit. If you'll get filled with the Holy Spirit, all that other stuff will take care of itself. So if you're full and the Holy Spirit says, don't say this, that's how you do it. If the Holy Spirit says, don't do that, that's how you do it. If the Holy Spirit says, don't go there, that's how you do it. So the key is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not I got to fit in and learn and all this kind of stuff. And again, I think I've told this story before, but there was a man that I led to the Lord and he was going to get baptized and everybody was calling him by his first name. There was no brother in front of it. All right, and he came to me one day, I mean, just distraught. What do I got to do? I got saved. When's everybody going to start calling me brother? You know, it's just my name. And so I tried to, you know, when I talked to him and out to other people, I tried to throw that brother in front of Bob. Now, this is Brother Bob, all right? And, you know, I tried to make him feel apart. And then back then, I think every independent Baptist I knew wore wingtips. I don't know if you know what wingtip dress shoes are. But he thought that he was going to get a pair when he came out of the baptistry. That was just being a part of the independent Baptist movement, all right? You get called brother, and here's you some wingtips. Okay, again, it's not that stuff. God says, this is what I want you to do. You get filled with the Holy Spirit and just obey the Holy Spirit and you'll make it. So we're going to look at, I think, a couple things here. He didn't say, be empty of my Spirit. He said, be filled with my Spirit. He didn't say, just get a little bit of my Spirit. No, he said, I want you filled with my Spirit. He didn't say, I want you to be partially filled with my Spirit. No, he said in a command in Ephesians 5, be filled with my Spirit. He said it. I want you to be filled with my Spirit. And so filled, the definition here is to put into as much as can be held. In other words, I mean to the brim. I think, what was that, a coffee commercial? Fill it to the brim way back in the day. He wants you to be filled. Not, okay, I'm saved, so I'll grab a lunchbox full of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I'll even get a backpack of the full of the Holy Spirit. No, He wants us to be filled, to supply with full complement. In other words, there's not another, there's no more room. And so again, what He's saying is, as you start getting filled with the Spirit, it'll push out what doesn't need to be there. And then as you continue to get filled with the Holy Spirit, it'll push out more stuff that don't need to be there. And then when you get filled to the brim with the Holy Spirit, there's no room for anything else to get in there. That's why He's saying, don't worry about, this. It'll take care of itself. Don't worry about this. It'll take care of itself. You just be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it'll help you. So it says here, it'll cause repairs to cavities. And some of you just went, ugh. All right? Because when you have a cavity, it lets you know. Just air going in it. Ugh. Why? You want that thing full. It's irritated when it's not full. And that's what God's saying is, you have cavities in your life that sin causes, and I want you to fill your body, fill your soul, fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Repair those cavities. Get rid of that pain. Satisfy all the requirements is what filled means. To occupy the whole is what filled means. So there are a lot of Christians today in this world. I mean, lots of them. Everywhere. But there's fewer Christians that are full of the Holy Spirit. And it's obvious. I mean, you'll hear a blue streak. And then you say, well, I thought you said you were saved. Well, I am. Oh, okay. Not what I just heard. Didn't sound like it. They weren't full. There were some cavities. Junk came out. And, you know, you see them participating in something. I thought you said you were a Christian. Well, I am. Oh, then why are you participating in that? Well, they weren't full of the Holy Spirit. And so, again, so we say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven, but I want to be a Holy Spirit-filled Christian. Now, here's a couple of, again, I've talked about my hats before, different hats that I have to put on. I want to say it this way. I want to be a Holy Spirit-filled husband. Okay? If I'm full of the Holy Spirit, she's out there looking at me through that little square. She's not as aggravating. Not that she's ever aggravating. Okay? But now she's getting closer. She's peeking in back there. But like I say, if I'm full of the Holy Spirit, nothing gets on my last nerve. But if I have cavities, boy, my flesh can perk up. And I'm not a Holy Spirit-filled husband. I might respond wrong. I might say something that I shouldn't say. But if I'm Holy Spirit-filled, I'll answer her in the right tone, in the right way, things like that. Why? Because I want to be a Holy Spirit-filled husband. I want to be a Holy Spirit-filled dad. Well, your kids are grown. Yeah, but I'm still a dad. I got a phone call last week. One of my sons said, I have a medical question. Well, I'm no doctor. All right, but I'm a dude. All right, so he's asking me questions. So I wanted to be able to answer the right way, the way God would want me to. So I want to be a Holy Spirit-filled dad. So when I get that unexpected phone call, well, let me go pray and read my Bible for about 3 hours, then I'll let you know. No, I want to be a Holy Spirit-filled dad. I want to be a Holy Spirit-filled pastor. When y'all call me or text me and say, pray for this, I don't want to have a three-hour get right with God session before I can pray for you. I want to be a Holy Spirit-filled pastor. I want to be a Holy Spirit-filled friend. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. You know what that is? Two Holy Spirit-filled people helping each other. Okay? It wouldn't be iron sharpeneth iron. It'd be iron sharpeneth clay or, you know, dirt if this one wasn't right. But Holy Spirit. So the one thing in common here is to be Holy Spirit-filled. And we saw in Ephesians 5, God commanded. So, There's just like we just talked about, there's lots of Christians, but there's not as many Holy Spirit-filled Christians. I'll give you some more examples. There's a lot of preachers out there today. Today's Sunday, and hopefully they're in church. Hopefully they're doing what I'm doing. Okay? But the ones of us that God can use the greatest and will affect the most people is the Holy Spirit-filled preacher. Now, there's some out there that's got, you know, PowerPoint presentations. That's not me. I'm sorry, okay? I don't point and click. I don't even know how to point or click. But anyway, there's people that may have a bigger production, but I'd rather have the Holy Spirit. There's people out there, preachers can't agree on everything, but we ought to be able to agree on, hey, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All preachers aren't alike. There's different people out there that have different deliveries. There's going to be some out there, they started, and again, I'm not against any of this. They started and it was like, and I mean, they're just like, boom, and they call them wind-sucking preachers. Why? Because they're just like, all right? And if they're full of the Holy Spirit doing that, I'm fine with it. But if they're just doing that, it's kind of annoying. Like, dude, breathe. We're all out here going, But if he's full of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, that's great. I'm kind of somewhere in between that and this. The Bible says, when they say, sinners in the hands of angry God, that's how it was preached. Just monotone reading. And people were falling out in the aisles, getting saved and getting right with God. But it was just like, but he must have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it's not us. It's not our voice. It's not our outline. It's not our theatrics. It's none of that. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to cause things to happen. So again, it just alleviates us. We're just the instrument. So, we see here the most important thing is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The difference between great preachers is not their dress. Okay? I don't even know where I got this suit. Okay? But there's some guys that they get theirs made. I mean, they go get measured and tailored, and man, they look like they walked out of I was fixing to say JCPenney catalog, but they don't even make those anymore. All of some YouTube commercial or something. All right? And I mean, they look like $1 million. But he can have a $5,000 suit on if he's not filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing's happening out there. Well, I mean, sharp dresser. That's not going to do much for you. It's not going to save your soul. It's not going to get you any closer to God. So it's not in the dress. Again, we talked about loudness, but there's mannerisms that people have. I've seen preachers, they have mannerisms. You can watch them, and you've probably figured mine out. They're not good manners. But anyway, they have mannerisms. Again, not in the mannerisms. It's in the Holy Spirit. Their voice, their delivery. Here's one, the length of their sermon or the shortness of their sermon. Okay, I got an appointment with the Mexican restaurant and or Zaxby's, and okay, but if it's the Holy Spirit filled, it doesn't matter the length. And there's some, and I do this a little bit, there's some jokesters. There's some preachers that they could be stand-up comedians. All right, and you're just hilarious. But again, if he just tells jokes and gets you laughing all the time, and there's no Holy Spirit fullness, what's the point? So the difference in a great husband, dad, preacher, friend is the level of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Mediocre dad, Spirit-filled dad. Mediocre preacher, Spirit-filled preacher. Mediocre friend, Spirit-filled friend. Ephesians 3:20. Not unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundant above all that we ask or think according to. All right, so in other words, God has the ability to save you, to help you grow, to answer your prayer. It's all God. It's not me. Okay, God has that. It says here, not unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. So in other words, we might ask God for $100. And he gives us $100, and God said, well, I had $1,000 right here if you'd have just asked me. You're like, oh, I wished. He can. That's what I'm saying. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask according to his personality. No. According to his ability, he's got it, but no. According to his education, nobody's smarter, but no. According to his fellowship or camp he associates with, yeah, but no. But it says here, not according to any of that, but to the power that worketh in us. Talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. This is how God does it. So again, I'm more worried about being filled with the Holy Spirit than whose camp I line up with. I'm more worried about being filled with the Holy Spirit than I'm worried about my personality. I'm more worried about being filled with the Holy Spirit than I'm worried about any of those things. Why? Because it's more important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just for preachers, but for husbands, wives, dads, kids, everybody. So, it says here, the tongue-tied man. You might have read a story about Uncle Bud Robinson. He was tongue-tied, but had thousands of people saved. Speech impediment. Well, there's no way that guy could be a preacher. God called him. And people still get saved with the materials that he wrote today. Why? Because he was Holy Spirit powered. There's eloquent men like Charles Spurgeon. I don't know if you've ever tried to read after him. You need a dictionary, maybe a thesaurus, Google, just to read the guy. So intelligent. But he was Holy Spirit filled. There's demonstrative men like Billy Sunday. I mean, up on a bar stool. I mean, he was preaching his guts out. But it wasn't that. It was he was Holy Spirit filled. People came out of the bar and started going to church. There's simple men like D.L. Moody. He's a shoe salesman. I mean, how dramatic is that? Stick your foot in this little thing. Oh, 7.5. Hey, we need 7.5. Woohoo! But God used him to save several on different continents. Simple men. Deep men. God is the Holy Spirit's filling. So when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned this at the beginning. And we grow in Christ as we yield our members, the Bible says, unto him. That's how we get filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at, first of all, number one, the comparison. In all these verses, and I'm going to read a couple more, God compares a drunk man with somebody that's filled with the Spirit. I don't know why God used a wicked or a worldly example. I guess he figured we'd know what he was talking about. Because I told the guys in Sunday school, I saw a lady last night when I was walking back to the car, she was doing this. I mean, she was struggling to stand there. All right, and I was like, in the morning she's going to wake up with a headache, probably puke her guts out, and wonder, what did I do last night? I woke up this morning, maybe a little sleepy, but fine, no headache, no vomiting, and I remember everything that I saw last night. So we know that drunkenness obviously causes you to do different things. But God in the Bible compares being drunk with being filled with the Holy Spirit in a couple places. We read these, and first one was Ephesians 5:8, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So a drunk man, obviously he is what they call, DUI, under the influence. So in other words, a drunk man, and again, they've gotten off from homicide, doing things they shouldn't do. Why? They were under the influence. It was a disease called alcoholism. So they're not accountable for it. Why? Because they were under the influence of something else. That's what God's saying here. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be just as obvious to that guy that this person's filled with the Holy Ghost. And again, it's not to speak in an unknown tongue. It's not to zap somebody upside the head. But it will help you to be under the influence of God than under the influence of your flesh or the influence of this world. A drunk man is filled, he's under the influence of something else. Listen to Luke 1:15. Luke 1:15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. So again, we see here that he's talking about just like somebody that's drunk. You can tell it. They're under that influence. And this person being filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So in other words, you know, some of you young people in here today, well, I'll get filled with the Holy Spirit when I get old, like the preacher. No, it can be for you. I was a teenager that told some of my teenage friends, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, why? Because I'm a Christian. And I want to please the Holy Ghost. I want to please the Holy Spirit, so I'm not going to participate in that. Sometimes I got made fun of. Sometimes I was able to lead people to Christ, things like that. Why? Because I wanted to be under the influence. I wanted to be under a power that was beyond myself. And what have you heard about, you know, some people that when they get drunk, they get strong. They don't even realize it. Why? Because this is not working right. So they're just under that, their power beyond themselves. Under the influence, power beyond the, Acts 2, verse 15 through 17. Listen to this. For those are not drunken as you suppose. So in other words, here's some Christians and they were behaving in a way that like, are these guys drunk? And God says, and the disciples says, no, not like you're thinking. They're under the influence of something. They're under the power of something, but not what you're thinking of. Seeing it is but the third hour of the day. So, of course, you know, nowadays people get drunk during the daytime. Used to, back in the Bible times, it was at least in the third part of the day. But anyway, but verse 16 says this, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And so when you're under the influence, some of you have had to take some medication for surgeries or for some type of sickness, and you're under the power of something else. I learned first time, I don't need to take Tavis D. I have allergies, but Claritin, I kind of built an immune system against it, and it didn't do nothing. I went to Sudafed, made my heart beat out of my chest. All right, I'd lay there in the bed, and my heart would go, I can't take Sudafed. And so I took some Tavis D, made me hallucinate. My wife and I, we were just married. She was still in Bible college. I was asleep. It knocked me out. She comes in there after studying for her midterm. She's easing in the bed. Her foot touched my calf. She said, I leaned up on my elbow. Touch me again, I'll knock you through that wall. And so she's like, aah! And I wake up. I'm like, why are you crying? You know why I'm crying. No, I don't. I wouldn't have asked why if I knew. She's like, you told me you'd knock me through that wall. I did not. Yes, you did. And I don't remember it. So I cannot take Tavis D or my walls will be in danger. But anyway, I learned if you're under the influence, you will do things that you're not usually doing. So why does the Bible compare being drunk with wine as being filled with the Holy Spirit? All right? Both show that you're under the power of something else. Both. Drunk people, they'll say things that they're not in control of. They will do things they're not in control of. Holy Spirit people, they're not in control. God's telling them what to do. Because both are different people when they're under that influence. You've seen this. You've seen shy people. I mean, they're just introverted. They won't say anything. They're just all drawn up. But get them soused, they become the life of the party. I mean, they're Mr. Talky Talkerton. And I mean, they won't shut up. And they're just talk. And, you know, they sober back up. They're all quiet again. They're not going to say anything. So let them drink, and all of a sudden they can talk to anybody. They can talk to a brick wall and probably have a pretty good conversation. They're under the influence. Shy people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. I've seen people like this. I mean, you have to work to get them to talk to you. But they go out soul winning. Woo! I mean, talk to complete strangers. Quote the whole Bible. Just talk. Get back. Under the influence. Here's one. Singing. Just like the Bible commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible commands us to sing. Okay? It didn't command us to sing on key. Some of us say praise the Lord there. It just says make a joyful noise. Same way. A person that doesn't sing, you couldn't get them to sing, give them a few drinks. Where's that karaoke box? Give me that microphone. Why? Because they're under the influence. Same way. This person, I mean, they sing and you're like almost having to lean against them to hear the words coming out of their mouth. But they get filled with the Holy Spirit. They get behind this pulpit or up here with the group and all of a sudden, whoa, coming out of their mouth. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's another one. Some people are just unhappy people. I mean, always just negative Nellies. It's always half empty, never half full. Just negative. But then they call them a happy drunk. I mean, this person, when they get, you know, three or four alcoholic drinks in them, I mean, they're Mr. Happy. Everything's wonderful. They hug everybody. Same way with being filled with the Holy Spirit. My flesh doesn't like people. Get away from me. I just want to be by myself. Holy Spirit, we're friendly. Here's one, scared. Just scared people. I'm going to fall off the edge of the earth. The sky's falling. Scared. I'm just scared. But give them a few drinks. They're Mr. Bold as a Lion. I can jump that with my car. I can do this. I can do that. Same way with being filled with the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ. So we see the comparison. A drunk man will think he can fly. The Holy Spirit-filled man can think, I can lead anybody to Christ. I can help build a church. I can go to the mission field. I can do this. Why? Because they're under the influence. That's why the Bible compares being full of the Holy Spirit with a drunk person. Here's we saw comparison. Now next, we're going to look at the second thing, the command. And we already read it. Be filled with the Spirit. So all of us in here would say, okay, you know, I get it. The preacher needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't say the pastor or the preacher or an older person. No, it says be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody. It would be wrong for me to get up here and try to preach a sermon drunk on alcohol. It would be wrong. Okay? And it would be, he's not here today, but if Brother Derek would have been here today and he got up here to lead the singing, and he would have been soused. That would be wrong. All right? And both him and I would probably lose our jobs. Okay? Because we'd be drunk. Brother Raji, it would have been wrong for him to get up in Sunday school and take prayer requests. Hold on a second. What did you say again? Or you know, totaling up the money and sending the money to the missionaries, things like that. It would be wrong for him to get drunk and do that. Okay? But it says here, be not drunk, but be filled. So I can't speak for them, but I can speak for me. Just as wrong as it would be for me to stand behind this pulpit in an alcoholic stupor and try to preach a sermon, I think, according to this verse, it would be wrong for me to try to preach this sermon without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he said over here, don't you drink it, but you better be filled. So I can speak that for me. So not to be filled is just as wrong with being drunk, in my opinion. So not to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, not to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit, that's a positional thing that took place at salvation. Ephesians 4:30 says this, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you were sealed into the day of redemption. So when you, I told you this at the beginning, when you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, the Bible says He saved and sealed you to the day of redemption. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're supposed to be filled. So having it and being saved is not, it's a positional thing, but being filled was unfaithfulness to church. That's not the problem, okay? That's a symptom of the problem. Because if I was Holy Spirit filled and obeying Him, I'd have went to church on Sunday morning. Not tithing is not the problem. It's a symptom of the problem. Being Holy Spirit filled, I would tithe. Not going soul winning is not the problem. It's a symptom of the problem. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I will spread the gospel. So as we keep going, the problem is not any of these things that we do. It's just a symptom of not being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see, first of all, we saw the comparison. Secondly, we see the command. And lastly, we see the condition. You say, okay, I see it. The Bible says I'm supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to be under His power. And this is the command of God. And here's the conditions. How do I get it? So in other words, what we're supposed to do, and I alluded to this a little while ago, empty yourself of all flesh. Empty yourself of worldly desires. Empty yourself of any demon possession, because you can't be dual possessed. Get rid of all that. You get the Holy Spirit in there. Give the Holy Spirit room. So first of all, we have to want it. We have to want it. And the Bible says in John 7:37 through 39, it talks about thirsting for it. I mean, the Bible tells us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. This verse talks about us wanting the Holy Spirit so bad it's like being thirsty. Verse 37 says this, in the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38, and he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So we got to have it. And verse 39 says this, but this spake he of the Spirit. Okay, so that came that was wanting to come flowing out of us was the Spirit. So most people have said, I've been thirsty before. But according to this verse, I don't know that I've ever been thirsty. Okay. I've been a little parched. I've been where I like a sip, but I don't know that I've been to this point where I had to have it. So some people say, well, I got thirsty today and I went to the refrigerator, got some water, got something to drink, appeased my thirst. No, what you did, you went and got something to drink. But it says here, go 3 days without one drop touching your lips, and your lips become 3 times the normal size. And your tongue starts to swell. You can't even swallow. And your lips start to crack. And you go without water until you say, I give my car. I'll give my house. I'd give anything I got in the bank for one sip. Then you could say, I've been thirsty. That's what he's saying. It's like you've got to want the Holy Spirit. I mean, want it. To the point that you say, I'll do anything to get it. I'll give anything to get it. Thirst for the Holy Spirit so bad that you have to have it. And then next, not only should we thirst, the conditions are thirsting. Secondly, it's believing. Verse 38 says, "And he that believeth." The Holy Spirit again, I mentioned some of these guys earlier. For Spurgeon, I think he thirsted for it. Moody, Billy Sunday, R.A. Torrey, Lee Robertson, some of these things. But the Bible says this same Jesus is no respecter of persons. He didn't give it to these guys that we think had it just because he liked them. They just thirsted after it. And they believed that he would give it to them. So again, I'm not saying go around and speak in tongues. I'm not going to say go around and get some spiritual vibes where you can heal people. I'm just saying ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. So every person he filled with the Holy Spirit, we just got to believe he loves me the same. He'll give it to me. So the conditions we see here are thirsting, believing, and then here's another one, asking. Asking. Luke 11:13. If ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, here it is, the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So He's not going to try to keep it from you. Just ask Him. I've heard preachers say that, you know, they had 3x5 cards. I guess this is before they had notes on their phone. But they would have, you know, pray for power. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for wisdom all over the place. And remind them to ask God for it. And so, again, you get that phone call and you see on your caller ID there, I don't know why they're calling me, but Holy Spirit, fill me. Let me know how to answer every man, like the Bible says. Ask Him for it. It says in James 4:2, says, you have not because you ask not. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like a family. If you got dad filled with the Holy Spirit, mom filled with the Holy Spirit, oldest child's always filled with the Holy Spirit because I was the oldest. That middle child maybe, that little baby that gets everything they ever want because they're the baby. You know, if everybody in the family is not filled, it's not going to go smooth. But if everybody's filled, it's going to go smooth. Everybody's going to be happy. Everybody's going to love each other like they should. Things like that. There's not one dissension over there. Because they're not full. What's the Bible say? That the church is supposed to be in one mind and one accord. Okay, and that doesn't mean a little car. We're not setting a new world record here. We're just wanting to be in the same mind and one accord, going in the same direction, but all of us being filled. You can say, okay, we're going to support this missionary and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And then you go, I don't think, well, let's pray about it some more and let's give it a couple months and we'll see. But if the Holy Spirit's saying yes to everybody else and that person's not of the same mind and the same one accord, things like that, that's where dissension happens. So we got to ask for it. And it says here they all will be filled. And the last one underneath this, we said we need to ask for it for the right reason. Okay, a lot of people wanted to be smart. God, make me smart. So they didn't have to study. That's why they wanted to be smart. They didn't want to be smart so they could help people or create some type of, you know, cancer curing, things like that. They just didn't want to study. So make me smart. Then they say, well, you know, God, make me good looking. Because they didn't want to have to work out, you know, sweetness and Mr. Plan of this and Mr. Plan that and, you know, swoop somebody off their feet and things like that. Just make me good looking so they just fall at my feet so I don't have to work at it. That's asking for it for the wrong reason. God, help me to be, just help me to be a millionaire. Well, work for it. No, I don't want to do that. Just make me one. All right? So same thing here. We don't need to ask for the fullness of the Holy Spirit for the wrong reason. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon ye, and ye shall be witnesses. All right, witnesses. And so again, whether you're witnessing just by your testimony, not actually even saying anything, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are going to say something, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see the consequences of being filled with the Holy Spirit is this. It will strengthen the believer. We won't take time to read these verses, but if you want to write them down, Ephesians 3:16. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it'll give you strength. It's promised in the Bible. Just like there's a command, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you are, in Ephesians 3:16, you will have strength. You'll have strength to do what you're supposed to do. You'll have strength to say what you're supposed to say. You'll have strength to behave like you're supposed to behave. Why? Because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says in Ephesians 3:16, it'll give you strength. Romans 8:14, why should I be filled with the Spirit? Consequences of being filled with Spirit. It will lead the believer. Not only will it give strength in Ephesians, it will lead. A lot of times we have decisions to make, especially as the adults in the situation, or as the husband in the situation, or as things like that. And we need leading. God, we need you. The Bible says, hey, if you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll lead you right on. Here's promises what I'll do if you'll do what I told you to do. I'll give you strength. I'll lead you. Here's one, Galatians 5:22. It says it will produce. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you read in Galatians 5:22. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, it'll produce this. And I'll read you the list. It'll produce love. It will produce joy. It will produce peace. It will produce long-suffering. In other words, you're patient. Whew. That's a hard one. It'll produce gentleness. It'll make the roughest, gruffest, you know, sandpaper dude gentle. It'll produce goodness. You'll just do good things. It'll produce faith. It'll produce meekness. It'll produce temperance. So God's saying, hey, I told you in Ephesians 5, you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you will, it'll give you some strength. It'll lead you. It'll produce these things. Here's another one. It's found in 1 John 2:27. It will illuminate the Scriptures. This is what God promises us if we will be filled. A lot of people, they'll start reading the Bible and they'll say, I'm not getting it. And like, well, have you been saved? Well, no. Oh, there you go. No inside help. You get saved. Holy Spirit comes and starts living inside of you, and you start reading. Now, I'm not saying we're going to figure it all out because we're not as smart as God. His ways are higher than our ways. His mind's higher than ours. But all of a sudden, you'll be reading and say, that's what that means. Why? Because the Bible says if you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, He will illuminate the Scriptures. He will put light on it. Here's another one. Some of us, you know, we're like the elephant, have to tie the little thing on our finger to remember anything, wife's birthday, anniversary, stuff that'll really get you in trouble, all right? You need something to remind me. Hey, remind me about this. Well, remind me to remind you. You're going to be in trouble. But the Bible says in John 14:26 that the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. You'll have some inside help. I mean, I can see people that I, you know, knocked on their door years and years and years ago. And I'll say, Bill or Jim, it's been 20 years since you saw me. It's just the Holy Spirit. Okay? In other words, somebody will, I'll be witnessing to them or trying to lead them to the Lord, and they'll throw out an excuse. And I'm like, oh man, how am I going to answer that one? The Bible says in this verse, and I hadn't read it in months, the Holy Spirit will bring that to your remembrance. Why? Because you've asked for it for the right reason. He's not going to help you pick numbers, count cards, and I guess this month, pick the right horse. That's not what He's going to do. God, please help me pick the right numbers. Nah, I'm not thinking. God, help me pick that the right order of the horse. Mm-mm. That's not what the Holy Spirit's for. Help you gamble or cheat. But He will help you remember the Scriptures. He will help you remember stuff that'll help you. And the Bible says, if you'll be filled with me, here's some promises that I got in the Bible. I'll strengthen you. I will lead you. I will produce these type of qualities in you. I will illuminate the Scriptures. I'll bring to your remembrance. And here's the last one. Romans 8:26. The Bible says, if you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, what He will do is He will guide your prayers. Guide your prayers. And if you'll read in Romans 8:26, it talks about it's one of those prayers that you don't even know how to formulate the sentence. You're grieved to the point, God, I don't even know what to say. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what He says He'll do on that? God, this is what He's meaning. This is why He's so torn up. Or this is why she's such a burden. This is what they're trying to say. I don't know about you, but I've been in those spots where somebody called me and said, hey, I need this right here. And I went to my knees and said, God, I don't know how to pray. We had one of those like that we mentioned in Sunday school, guys. There's a guy filling in for a day today for a preacher that had open heart surgery and he can't preach for 10 weeks. So this guy's filling in for him. Pretty heavy load. Then Friday night, in that church, teenager committed suicide. So he's got to go to that pulpit today, filling in with his pastor, who's had open heart surgery, and can't preach for 10 weeks, and then try to comfort that church going through a situation like that. They don't teach you that in Bible college. There's no how-to book on to figure that out. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit, if you're full. So Brother Smith today, I think his name is Spencer Smith. He's preaching today at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Shepherdsville. And I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit's going through him, helping comfort those people. You don't just figure it out. It's not his booming personality that's going to do that. But it's the Holy Spirit. And if you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, young people, you'll find the right husband. You'll find the right wife. Because he'll lead you. He will guide you. You'll be like, and he'll be, uh-uh. But they're cool. They're cute. They're good looking. Uh-uh. Okay. He's not going to play that on you. God, that, woo. You're going to have to do a miracle. No, God's not like that. Your fathers know how to give good gifts. He's not going to give you something that make you want to throw up every day of your life. The Holy Spirit knows you. But if you'll be filled, He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll give you the strength. And even when you don't even know how to pray, He'll say, I got you. God, what they really mean is this. And that's why when you walk away from the door after leading someone to Christ, you're not like, oh, yeah, I got it. No, you don't. Thank you, Lord. That person was on their way to hell. And because you flowed through me, now they're on their way to heaven. All the glory belongs to you. And today when Brother Spencer gets finished preaching, if anybody was helped that day, he won't go, man, boy, I kind of swooped down. They didn't realize he had a open heart surgery and that family's going through that loss. I did it. Mm-mm. He'll be like this probably. Say, God, I don't know how, but thank you for doing what you did. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My wife's going to come and she's going to play the invitation. Obviously, if you're not saved today, listen to the Holy Spirit. Come. We'll take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. If there's something in your life, you don't have to tell us and tell everybody. And nobody's going to guess what it is if you come down here. But if you come and say, God, I don't even know how to pray, Holy Spirit will pray for you while you're down here. Let's all stand. My wife's going to play. Altar's open.